You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 380 and our 10th full season of the podcast. Today is Sunday, August 20th, 2017, and my name is Steve. I am joined by both Hammy and Kurt. And before we get started, folks, help us out by giving the show a review on iTunes and spreading the word about the podcast on Twitter, on Facebook, whatever you can do, we would appreciate it. All right, guys, in tonight's show, we'll discuss Dansby's week, Vizcaino's new role, and we'll go down to the farm to check in on Ronald Acuna and Chris Medlin. But we're going to start the show with some predictions about the performances we'll see the final 6 weeks and how that will shape the offseason. But first, a quick break. All right, guys, there's about 6 weeks left in the 2017 season. Lots of big decisions ahead for the front office this offseason, and what they see on the field the rest of the way will influence those moves. So, Hammy, let's start with you.
Yep.
Make a prediction on a player's performance the rest of the way that will influence what happens this offseason.
Well, I think before I make the prediction, I think Camargo's situation is going to have a big impact down the stretch. And, you know, before I even start, it's surprising. I think we all thought that we'd be talking about Rio Ruiz at this point during last offseason, looking ahead, thinking about a young player who was going to maybe push somebody for a job. We thought it'd be Ruiz, but now it's Camargo, which is a surprise. But the other surprise is we also thought that Albies was going to be pushing Phillips for the second base spot, but now Camargo, in essence, is pushing Phillips for the third base spot, potentially, right? There's only one slot for both those guys to go. So I could see this playing out a couple of different ways. I mean, I could see Phillips having a great down the stretch and, you know, us signing him for another one-year deal maybe or two-year deal at around $12 million a year. Or, and maybe more likely, I could see Camargo coming back and being really, really solid and taking that from him, right? And not mattering what Phillips can do and Camargo being our third baseman for the future. So I think what the performance that's going to dictate that is Camargo's. If he comes back and he crushes it, then it's his for the taking. But I think he's got to really earn it, though, because I think the Phillips option is an attractive one in a lot of ways. Maybe not for 2 years, maybe just for 1 year. But I like Phillips at third.
I like Phillips at third. Phillips seems so miserable at third, however. He still won't talk about it in interviews. He really has kind of stopped smiling. I don't know if you've noticed that, but he like doesn't smile anymore. And again, it's been, what, almost 3 weeks now since Camargo went down? I'm sorry, it's been almost 3 weeks since they called Albies up, I mean,
right,
and moved Phillips there, and he still refuses to talk about it. So I don't know that he's even going to accept that opportunity.
Hmm.
You know, even if they offer him 2 years, which seems a little crazy, I don't think he's going to accept it. But, Ham, what do you think Camargo is going to do, right? Snicker came out a couple days ago and said, when Camargo's ready to come back, and we have no idea what that date is, he's not unseating Swanson. There's not going to be he's not going to share time at shortstop. So Snicker talked about, well, there's some time at third, there's some time at second, we'll find him playing time. Do you think Camargo's going to come back and hit well?
I do. I do. I think he's going to come back, and he's going to force the issue with Phillips. I mean, Phillips is still doing great. I mean, Phillips is, you know, getting 1 to 2 hits every game, it feels like, especially these past seven
and
or eight.
Playing flawless
and
defense.
And playing flawless third, yeah. So,
but, I mean, do you think Camargo's going to come back and look good enough for them to say, yeah, we're gonna figure to start him, Camargo, at third in 2018?
I do. If you look at it in addition to his contract and his youth.
Curtis, you think Camargo's the third baseman to start the year next year?
Well, I think, Steve, your point is apt, that I'm not sure Phillips wants to be a third baseman. I guess I don't see the Braves dumping $11, $12 million a year on Phillips to play third for them. It just doesn't seem like that's the spot that they want to be in with him. And so I think that given Camargo is making league minimum, I think that they would love to give him the opportunity to hold that job at least for a little while, see if he can perform even remotely close to what he's done so far. I guess my concern would be their defense on that side. It would not be great.
Oh, Camargo was fine at third. You don't think so?
Well, I mean, I just think that a season long of Camargo and a season long of Dansby, who's already got like 15, 16 errors at shortstop, I just think it might be a little suspect.
My bigger problem is I don't believe in Camargo. I think Camargo gets exposed if he's the everyday third baseman next year. And I still continue to hope that the front office is not putting that many chips in with Camargo and that they will find a real everyday third baseman in the offseason.
So you think that'll be a priority for them?
I think it's got to be. Got to be one of the priorities this offseason. So, hey, I'm moving on. Who do you think is another player whose performance the rest of the way is going to influence a decision this offseason?
I don't know. Curtis, you go first. I don't want to steal.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I don't want to steal Curtis's.
I just hate throwing it to Kurt.
You do. Yes. Who
do you got?
mine is not super sexy, but he pitched really well today. He pitched three innings today. It's Matt Whistler. Obviously, he's not clearly going to be part of their rotation plans going forward, but he could be a really important part of the team as a long reliever. And he's pitched much better since they sort of announced that he was going to be a bullpen guy. He had pitched well as a starter in Gwinnett leading up to sort of the last time he came up and then was terrible. And then they said, okay, no more. You're going to be a reliever and we're going to focus on you as a reliever now. He went back to Gwinnett. He's pitched very well as a reliever in the month of August. And then obviously he's come back up to Atlanta. And I mean, I know it's sort of a small sample size, but he's done really yeoman's work so far. So, and these are really the only times that it's clearly been identified that he is going to be a reliever. He's thrown a lot more strikes. His ERA has dropped almost a run. I know that that's not saying much when your ERA is eight, but he's pitched a lot better. I mean, he looked good the three innings he pitched today. I mean, those could be huge innings, especially if you're going to have a young rotation again, that you're going to need gap guys.
So do you think that's a ceiling, Curtis? Is he a gap guy or do you see him as being like O'Flaherty or an eighth inning guy?
Yeah, I don't know that he has got sort of that type
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that you know, they threw him in the bullpen and he started hitting 95, 96. Ham, I think it will be if he can graduate to it.
Yeah.
You know, I think he starts as the sort of mop-up guy.
But you need those guys.
Relief.
I mean, Andrew
Miller. You need those guys too, yeah.
Right? You know, I mean, he was a key part of the Indians' success last year, and he's one of those guys, a tweener.
And the Braves have a lot of those middle innings to fill. I mean, they consistently have these problems with guys going deep in their rotation. And they don't, you know, I mean, their bullpen this year has been so bad, and it's been a lot of the middle reliever guys that have been so terrible other than Jim Johnson. But, it's a need that they have. And not that you go and dump a bunch of money on a middle reliever or something like that, but it's just a component of a broader thing that they need to build a full team. Good for Whistler. If he accepts this job, and two, that if he flourishes, I mean, you know, he's got the stuff because we saw it when he was a starter and he pitched so well at times, and so you know what's in him. So, it would just be great if that's another piece. I know it's not a really exciting piece, but it is an important piece for them. Yeah, absolutely.
So, guys, I will move to the outfield and talk about Matt Kemp. To me, he's an obvious one, right? He's the cleanup batter. He was out and injured. He's just come back. He played Saturday's game against the Reds. He sat on Sunday, but I assume he's going to play most of this coming week. On the other hand, I don't know how much it matters unless he comes back and just goes crazy like he did in the beginning of the season, which I don't think he's capable of because, and we've talked about it, he's tired. He's gotten heavier. I don't know what he's going to do that will that will entice someone to take on the rest of his contract. The next 2 years, 18 and 19, he's making $21.5 million per year. And it becomes pretty interesting, right, that regardless how he does, and you know Acuna's coming up, and you know that Markakis is going to do what Markakis does. He's going to hit 270, 280 the rest of the way. He's going to hit a good number of doubles. But you got to make room for Acuna. And I don't think whatever Kemp does, they're not going to eat the contract. They're not going to dump him if he's kind of subpar the rest of the season. I think whatever Kemp does, it forces them to focus on Markakis. Anyone agree? Disagree?
I don't know. So you're thinking that they're the most likely next configuration in the outfield is Kemp, Enciarte, Acuna.
Yes. Yes. I think that it makes the most sense. You're not going to put Acuna in center because you have a Gold Glove center fielder.
Yep. And
you want to use Acuna's arm in right as opposed to left.
And you're sort of tied to Kemp whether you want him or not.
I just can't see them. I mean, they, of course, could move him and eat a bunch of the money. And maybe that's something they do. But I just don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah.
It would be great if he went on a tear and then they could eat less of the money.
Yeah, but
I don't see it.
No.
He's going to be mediocre the rest of the season.
So
I don't know if it's a desire thing. I just think he can only do so much as, you know, he's kind of out of shape and can't move fast. And
well, yeah, I mean, you got to find an American League team that will take him as a DH. I mean, that's your only hope at this point is, like you said, he goes on a tear and you find a American League team that their DH goes down or something like that. I mean, that's the only service that guy has left. And unfortunately,
you're going to have to eat half.
Yeah, you're certainly going to eat a ton of it. And frankly, the return that you've gotten now seems like it was sort of a flash in the pan at the beginning of the season. And this is the player that he's been the last few years that the Padres hated so much.
Yeah. So. All right, guys. So sticking with roster construction, We've talked a lot throughout the season of the amazing sort of career year that Tyler Flowers has had. And the current contract, there is an option for $4 million to bring him back in 2018. Obviously, the team is going to do that. The catching help, you know, we talked about it with Eric Cole last week. The catching help is a couple years away at the earliest. So what do you do with Flowers? There was an article this week in the AJC about he'd love to come back, you know, on a multi-year deal. So, Curtis, do you sign Flowers to a two-year deal, a three-year deal?
Yeah, I think if you could get it for a two-year and maybe an option on a third, I would totally do that. I mean, you think about what he's done, and I know that these are numbers that are sort of beyond the scope of what he's done in his career. And, you know, you look at the hot start he had. Well, his BABIP in the first month was like 500 something. So it sort of has obviously arced directly down in connection with his BABIP. His average and everything else has gone downhill virtually every month. And so he's sort of become these last few months the hitter that he's been his whole career. But I mean, you think about you get Tyler Flowers, even if he bats 250, I mean, comparatively, Brian McCann's making like almost $12 million and is batting 230 and is hurt. So, you know, and McCann is now familiar. Obviously, there's some energy that he's gotten being back in Atlanta where he's from. There's no doubt about that. So I think that he has shown enough, certainly offensively and even defensively. I mean, he's been a pretty solid defensive catcher this year. So I don't see why you would even blush at paying that money.
Yeah. Don't mess with it, right? I mean, just replicate. If you could do whatever you could to replicate what we had this year at catcher, I think it's a steal. We've got Flowers getting a 2.1 WAR, right? Which is teams are paying about $7.7 million for just one WAR win above replacement this season. So he's got twice that at half the value. And then you've got Suzuki at $1.5 million. He's got a 1.6 WAR. I mean, it's amazing what we're getting from the catcher. There's no other options. We're not going to go out and sign some catcher who's going to just transform that position for us. This is an easy decision. Sign him to 2 years. I would even say 3 year. Why not? right? I mean, maybe you don't sign both of them, but if he's, I don't know, a 2-year deal at 8, I do that immediately.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is his defense isn't great. He has lapses. He's been throwing out guys at a better rate this year than he did last year. But I agree. The offense, of course, you can't argue with. You hope that he can do it the next couple of years. But I agree. You know that there's nothing on the horizon, and he's the best game in town. The free agent market. You know, if you were gonna extend him and have him be the backup to a free agent catcher that you're going to sign in the offseason, there's no great options. Avila, maybe. Lucroy, you're not going to do.
Nope.
So I agree. I agree that you go ahead and you get that done this offseason. All right, guys, let's go by the numbers and look at some of the other stuff that happened this week, and nothing bigger than Dansby Swanson's week. I mean, my God. So in his first week back, right, 2 weeks ago, when he came up unexpectedly after the Camargo injury, it was not great. He went 2-for-16. It was 2 singles. But what was kind of encouraging was he only struck out once in those 16 plate appearances. And this week, he went berserk. 9-for-21, 3 doubles, 2 triples, 6 walks, which is just a great sign about how he's seeing the ball. He also drove in 5 runs. What a great week for Dansby. I mean, my God, let him keep it up. And, I think we talked about it last week. Just let him have a couple of balls drop in and get his confidence back. Nothing like a hitting almost 500 and being on base in the 600s to get your confidence back.
Yeah. Just keep it at 250. Just ride it out, because he's here for the rest of the season. You know, we talked about not sending him back down again. I just hope that he doesn't hit any huge valleys as well. You know, he can't.
Yeah, not only getting.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, not only getting sent down, but nice to get that vote of confidence from Snitker that he's not going to platoon with Camargo when Camargo comes back.
Right. That's the only option. That's the corner they painted themselves into. We talked
about. Right. They have to play him.
Yep.
They have to play him and let him, you know.
Every game, every at bat.
Let him build on this week.
Yeah.
It seems like he's a little closer to the plate. I don't know if that's some adjustment. I read that article that that was in the AJC about his confidence being back and everything, and that it sort of just took a little kick in the pants going back to Gwinnett. But they said that they really didn't do anything different about his swing, that his swing is great, and it was just getting the confidence back and trusting in his abilities. But it does look like he's a little closer to the plate maybe to deal with those slider issues that he was having that – we've talked about, you know, ad nauseum here. So I don't know if that's something that's helped. Maybe he's a little closer. He's getting to be able to reach those balls on the outside of the plate. But whatever it is, it's exciting to have Dansby back as a player who, you know, we feel like we were talking last week that maybe, you know, what the big question mark when Camargo comes back, what they would do with Dansby Swanson. And yeah. Obviously, as you noted, Snitker's already taken that question out of the realm of possibility. So it's great.
It is so good. So good. All right, guys. So it was July 29th when Jim Johnson lost the closer's role to Aroldis Vizcaino. And since that time, Vizzy has made 7 ninth inning appearances. His slash line against in those 7 appearances is 048, 091, 048. He's converted all 5 save opportunities. He has struck out 6. He's walked 1 and given up just 1 hit over those 6 2/3 innings pitched. I'd say we have our closer heading into next year.
Yeah. And he looks like he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. I don't know. I do feel like he's pitching just a little bit more confidently as well. I don't know. Yeah, it's exciting. He looks great.
Well, and I know it's sort of hindsight now, but shouldn't he have been closing this whole time? I mean, I know he's been hurt some and he's had some issues at some points along this season, but shouldn't he have been our closer the whole time? Johnson, seriously? I mean, seriously?
Maybe you're insulating him against some of the losing. You know,
well, and the fact is, Vizcaino had some bad stretches, and Jim Johnson was good for a while. I mean, Jim Johnson was good last year. Look, I didn't love it, and it wasn't sexy, but I think that they felt it was going to be a stabilizing force, and this was a veteran guy, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, they needed stability in the bullpen, especially with the trying to stabilize the starting rotation. But I agree. This feels like, you know, where we should be now. All right. Speaking of the starting rotation, Sean Newcomb had a nice week. 6 innings, 3 earned in Colorado, and then 5 innings, 0 earned in Sunday's finale against the Reds, which is the good news. The bad news is that 4 walks against Colorado, 5 walks against the Reds, and in Sunday's finale against the Reds, I think he had 2 innings that ended with the bases loaded. I mean, they were just base runners.
All over the place.
Everywhere that game.
Yeah.
He is living dangerously, but
and Ozzie makes that insane catch on that bullet from Votto.
Well, that, and then he made that double diving, in the gap. Then that diving catch, sort of whatever Newcomb did, flick, whatever you would call it, roll across the diamond,
the fall, the stumble,
yeah.
And thank God Ozzie's 6 feet tall, so he could catch that line drive.
That was all. That's all he had.
Yeah. Oh man, and it was great. It was just beautiful. All right. And then lastly, Sims got his first win of the season going 5 innings, 2 earned in Colorado this week. Pretty impressive to do that in Colorado.
Yeah, he looked great. He looked great.
Do you guys think, you know, Sims is someone else we really could have talked about in the first segment. Do you believe that Sims is going to show enough the rest of this season that they're like penciling him in for, you know, 5th spot in the rotation in 2018? I don't know. I just still can't quite believe in Sims.
I think they're hoping they start next year with Tehran, Folty, Newcomb, Sims, and Fried.
What?
No. Yeah,
where's Dickey? Where's Dickey?
No Dickey.
No Dickey and no signing a free agent pitcher.
Nope.
You think they're starting 3 effectively rookies in there?
I think depending on how it goes down the stretch, I think that could be the scenario.
Oh my God, Ham.
I don't know. I think Fried starts in AAA. I think Fried starts the season in AAA.
I think Sims might start the season in AAA too. I think it all comes down to obviously the rest of this year.
But why?
How he holds up.
What I mean, to what
because
end?
They want to win more games next year.
Yeah, but you've got to. It's the same thing with Glavin and Smoltz. You have to have these guys have got to go through their rough patches.
Yeah, but those guys had careers in the minors. I mean, Glavin and Smoltz did not get brought up from single A to start pitching, and I'm not saying that Sims has, but I mean, I think that the Whistler and Aaron Blair thing will sort of temper them a little. I think position players, maybe you can sort of get away with it. Obviously, we saw what happened with Dansby, but I think pitchers even more so. You really have to kind of let them develop at each level and then bring them up. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
I think they sign a starting pitcher in the offseason. I think the rotation next year is Folty, Tehran, free agent signing, Dickey and Newcomb.
Think Tehran's around?
Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, if they trade Tehran, then of course that changes things. But I think it's very likely Tehran is around, yes.
Just because they won't be able to get nearly the return they want to get.
Because they won't get what they want.
They missed the window on him. Yep.
Seems that way. All right, let's go down on the farm, guys, and see what's going on there with a couple of guys. And of course, as we will do the rest of the season, Ronald Acuna. And he had another absurd week. So 6 games, Gwinnett played 6 games this past week. He had 5 multi-hit games. And the other game, he only had a paltry 1 hit. He went 13 for 27 this week with 2 doubles, 3 homers, and only 4 strikeouts.
Wow.
And he's 19.
It's just so great. Every night, checking that box score is just the best.
Yeah, somebody tweeted back to us about that they had fears that Acuna was getting traded.
No,
I literally think they would trade Freddie Freeman right now before they would trade Acuna. Okay.
Well, he is the untouchable prospect. There's just they're not trading Acuna. It's not happening. All right, guys, the, you know, midseason, we were talking a lot about Chris Medlin, who had a very quick ascension through the minor league system, was pitching pretty well in AAA, and we were all talking about, oh yeah, at some point, we're going to see Medlin up with Atlanta, and he's going to get a couple starts. So in his 13 games at AAA this season, his ERA is 5.52, and his slash line against is 2.88, 3.30, 4.80. And in his last six, the numbers are essentially the same. So I'm no longer sure that there's a guaranteed start or two from Chris Medlin this season.
I said we weren't going to see it, and you laughed at me. I just want to put that out there.
I might have been the one laughing at you.
Well, you always laugh at me. Steve stood out because it hurt.
I really did. I really was the one that thought Medlin was.
You did, Kurt. You were all over it.
Yeah. I was.
And Hammy, even though I may be 100% wrong, I still stand by laughing at you.
Okay, you should.
I'm going to have it both ways. All right, guys. Next up is Shot in the Dark, but first a quick break. All right, Shot in the Dark, our predictions for the coming week. And let's start by reviewing how our listener Shot in the Dark went. It was from Jan Foster, who predicted that Tehran would go 7-plus innings, giving up one run and recording 8 strikeouts in his first start of the week, which was in Colorado. And all Tehran did was go 7 innings, 0 earned, and exactly 8 strikeouts.
It's so awesome.
Really great, great job, Jan. Really so good.
Maybe the best Shot in the Dark we've had. Listener Shot in the Dark nailed.
Yeah, I agree.
Girl power.
I put that out there.
All right, let's see how the three of us did, and we don't compare to Jan. Let me just let me take some of the mystery away. Yes. All right, so Ham, you predicted that the starters would give up 30 or more earned runs, but the offense would score 30 or more runs. The starters gave up 21, which was interesting because while there were a couple ugly starts like Folty's and, you know, Tehran's second one, there were a couple shutouts, too, from the starters.
Yeah.
And the offense scored 35. So half right.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Curtis, you predicted that Swanson and Albies would combine for less than 12 hits. Dansby had 9. Yeah. Dansby had 9 by himself. And Ozzie had 5, so 14 there.
So hating, I was only 2 off.
Yeah.
You're well, still a hater.
Yeah, we didn't really talk about Ozzie.
Yeah, and Ozzie had 2 hits on Sunday, which dramatically improved his week. He was having a very rough week.
So if he hadn't hit 2 hits today, I would have hit it.
And you'd still be a hater.
Ham.
Come on now, Kerr, you're all like, oh, I'm doing this to be reverse jinxing.
Yeah. Oh, I'm doing it to win. I don't really care about any reverse jinx. That's a big front. I want to win this thing.
All right. I predicted that Dansby would hit over 315 with a homer. Oh, I should not have included the homer. So Dansby hit 428 this week, 9 for 21, but no home run. So no winners again. No one is on the board for August. Guys, we have to get busy. All right. Speaking of Ham, what do you got?
All right. So I know you guys hate Brandon Phillips.
I love Brandon Phillips. That's Steve.
And Kurt hates Albies and Swanson is what I'm gathering. I forget what that was.
Unbelievable. The whole middle of the infield.
Yeah, really.
And the youth. Steve hates Camargo.
Seriously.
We've knocked everybody
There's
out.
No future with you guys. Phillips is 11 shy of his 2000th hit. I say he gets it this week.
All right. Very nice. Kurt, what do you got?
There's a big buildup for that. Freddie Freeman, we're at home all week long. I think 4 homers, bats over 375.
4 homers.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yes.
He needs like a 2 homer game for you, Kurt. You know?
Something.
Yeah, something like
that. He needs to hit 4 homers is what he needs to
do. Well, there's a couple ways that breaks down. He could have 4 just solo homer games.
Or hit 1 4 homer game.
Yes, that exactly.
Would be fine too. 3 all one right. game, 1 another.
I am going for the 1 Sims start, the 1 Newcomb start, and the 2 Folty starts. So those 4 total starts, they give up 9 earned runs or less. Take over this week.
You don't want Tehran and Dickey tainting.
No. Again, Tehran at home? Come on. Eesh. All right. Folks, don't forget to get your Shot in the Dark in before first pitch on Monday. And if we pick yours, we'll discuss it on next week's show. All right. Let's look at the week ahead, guys. Six games this week, all at home, three with Seattle Mariners, three with the Rockies, and here are the pitching matchups. So Folty, as it works out, gets ex-Gwinnett Brave Andrew Albers, you know, the 31-year-old journeyman who was killing it in Gwinnett. And about 2 weeks ago, the Braves traded him for cash, and he was traded to the Mariners and had his first start like a week ago. He went five innings and gave up one earned. So Folty faces Andrew Albers. Next up is Sims versus Marco Gonzalez and his 844. And then last up in the Seattle series is Dickey versus Erasmo Ramirez and his 452. So on to the Colorado series, we get a rematch of Tehran against Chad Bettis, who, of course, threw that seven-inning shutout ball when he, you know, in his return for 2017.
Return.
Yeah, no doubt. And he looked great. My goodness. All right, next up is Newcomb versus Kyle Freeland and his 3.71 ERA. Freeland went six innings and gave up three earned against the Braves last week in Colorado. And then the week finishes out with Folty versus John Gray and his 4.74 ERA. Gray went six innings and gave up two earned against the Braves last week. So, six games. Curtis, what do you think the record is this week?
I feel like we are going to go 3-3. Ooh. 2-1, 1-2.
Some suspense there.
Yeah.
Nice buildup.
Yeah, some great suspense for a 500 week.
Yes. That's true.
Hey, I think we are going to be average.
All right, Ham, what do you got?
2-4. 1-2, 1-2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, I think 4-2. I mean, if the kids are going to only give up two earned each this week, they're going to go 4-2. 2-1, 2-1. It can happen.
It can happen.
All right, folks, that is the show. Remember, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access our past shows, our blogs, and to post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. Had to admit-